are a bunch of job categories that I think we could both agree there aren't that are dominated by immigrants. Find a taxi driver in New York. Find someone cutting a lawn probably anywhere in America. Find someone cleaning a hotel room in America. We have a 4.5% unemployment rate. These do not seem to be jobs that Americans want. So don't we need to have some proportion of less skilled immigrants to fill them?
That is Steve Rattner, who is a economic advisor to the lefties at Morning Joe. Of course, he worked in the Obama administration, but it's the same old trope. Basically, Americans are too lazy or they're too effete to do all these jobs that, of course, Americans have always done and Americans continue to do. Senator Tom Cotton and Senator David Perdue, co-sponsors of the RAISE Act. You saw this event perhaps yesterday kick off at the White House. The president, of course, endorsing this legislation, which would update a very, very outdated immigration system when it comes to these unskilled workers who are coming into the country, including, of course, the million. We have 1 million legal immigrants a year coming into this country. 1 million. We need merit-based immigration. And they made these points. It was really fascinating to watch the press's reaction. But again, you're lazy. Everybody's lazy. Nobody does these jobs. Senator Tom Cotton, it's good to have you with us. How are you?
Hey, Laura. It's great to be on with you. Thank you.
So what, of course, everybody knows your military history or deployments. But other than being a member of the armed forces, did you ever do any manual labor growing up? Did you ever do any of these jobs? What'd you do?
Only from about the age of five when I started working on our family farm. I'm not sure I was big enough to do so, but I know my mom was ready for me to take over her role as my father's farmhand.
Yeah, so you did these times. You did hard work. And I've just entertained all these calls from people. And people calling in and say, look, they worked in painting houses. You know, I worked mowing lawns, restaurant work, hotel work. The emails and the calls coming in, people are infuriated to hear from the likes of Senator Durbin, all these other characters on television for the last, 18 hours saying we need more immigrants to do the jobs that Americans won't do repeatedly. This is just this old trope is repeated time and again.
Yeah, Laura, it's somewhat condescending and insulting to American workers. You know, maybe they don't have a private equity fund and sit on the Morning Joe panel, but most of them just want a decent job that pays a decent wage and has a chance to support their families. And I'm not aware of any job that an American won't do. In fact, the data shows you don't have to just deal with anecdotes or what you hear from some unscrupulous business owners who want to bring in foreign workers so they can pay them less. The data shows from the Department of Labor that there is not a single industry in this country that is not a majority employed with native-born American citizens. That's just the simple facts. You can say that, we pay somebody too much or that we should have more immigration or what have you. I'm happy to have that argument with you, but you can't have your own facts. And the facts are native-born Americans make up a majority of every single industry in this country.
Well, the fact is wages aren't really going up. So Dick Durbin was on there complaining that wages aren't going up. It's like, well, he's making our point that wages aren't going up because people are flooding the marketplace.
Yeah, and Senator Durbin, Senator Feinstein, Senator Schumer, that they all acknowledge that there are problems with our temporary guest worker programs, that the H-2A or H-2B program can be abused and it can hurt American wages. Well, the same thing happens when you bring 1 million people into this country as legal permanent residents every year, and only 1 out of 15 of them are here because of their skills or their education or their job offer or what have you. And that's been the case for 40 years now. And I would say that it's not a coincidence that for 40 years, if you have a high school degree or less, your wages have fallen. And at that same time, we have quadrupled the number of unskilled and low-skilled immigrants we bring to our country.
We have a number of senators, including Lindsey Graham. I hope we have the soundbite here to play for you. They caught him in the basement of the Senate yesterday reacting to your legislation. And so Lindsey Graham says he's against it. And I guess we don't have the soundbite somehow. Don't know how we don't have it, but we do have it. Okay, let's go.
The argument is that these foreign workers are hurting American wages and job opportunity. I think that's not accurate. I think the truth is that employers can advertise until the cows come home, and there's certain areas like meatpacking and tourism and agriculture that you just can't find American-born labor to do those jobs, and these legal visas keep the company from going out of business or moving overseas. And I don't want an economy that doesn't recognize how diverse we are as a nation.
And so he went on to say, I can't support this bill. Your reaction to Senator Graham?
Emotional and opinionated, yet uninformed. I mean, he said in that clip that he's talking about legal visas and advertising. What he is talking about there is H-2A and H-2B visas. If he and other senators would read my legislation, they'd realize it doesn't touch on those temporary visa programs. It only affects the million green cards we give out every single year. Furthermore, those industries that he just cited, meatpacking or tourism or agriculture, they are in fact majority native-born American. That's just a fact. Now, there may be some places, as Steve Rattner said on TV this morning, where you have majority immigrant in employment, like taxi drivers in New York. I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's what he asserted. Well, that's not the case in Little Rock, and it's not the case in hotels in Mountain Home.
What I'd also say, Senator, that the reason those professions are dominated now by immigrant labor is because wages were held artificially low by the influx of an inordinate number of low-skilled laborers who came in. Americans were pushed out of these jobs. I hear this all the time about landscaping, plumbing, roofing, on all of these jobs. These were jobs that Americans did.
And here's an irony, too, for all these people who claim that they want to support immigrants and they want to have more immigrants come here and do these jobs. Like, who do they think the new wave of immigrants are hurting the most? They're hurting the previous group of immigrants because they're the ones who are most likely to be competing in the same economic fields. So our legislation helps all Americans, whether they have a family member that came over on the Mayflower 400 years ago, or whether they just took the oath of citizenship. There is no American of any background, of any ethnicity, who will not be benefited by our legislation if they are the kinds of people who, unlike the people that sit on the Morning Joe panel, don't take a shower before they go to work. They take a shower when they get back from work.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking to Senator Tom Cotton here on the Laura Ingraham Show. Senator Flake has been flogging this book on the TV shows, and I predicted that it's only a matter of time before he leaves the Republican Party. He seems very unhappy, and he's really hearkening back to the old kind of globalist, you know, George W. Bush era of Republican politics, which was rejected by the voters. I mean, that if Bushism was the winning philosophy for the Republican Party, Jeb Bush would be the nominee right now. He would have won his home state. And Marco Rubio would have won his home state if Bush didn't. But Flake is out there. You know, he wants more immigrants. He wants more, more trade. Let's listen.
I'm very concerned about where the party is going and the anti-immigration fervor. That's not the place the Republican Party wants to be in the future if we're going to be an inclusive party that speaks to a broader audience.
What's your reaction to him on this?
The Congress has tried and failed three times in the last 11 years to pass sweeping, comprehensive, amnesty-first immigration legislation in 2006 and 2007, and most recently and notably in 2013, the famous Gang of Eight bill. I would point out that two members of the Gang of Eight ran for president in 2016, and between them, they didn't win a single statewide primary, yet Donald Trump didn't just win the nomination, he won the presidency. So you would think that the people in our party who have advocated for mass immigration and for amnesty first would take stock of what happened in our election last year and realize that they are selling something that not many of our voters want.
Now, there seems to be almost no self, reflection or moment of consideration. It's almost like November 8th never happened. Ninth never happened.
Yeah, and remember that immigration wasn't an ancillary or minor issue in the campaign. Immigration was the single issue on which Donald Trump most distinguished himself, not just from Hillary Clinton, but from those other 16 Republicans. I mean, you really should pause and take stock of why that is the case. And you don't have to take stock very long. Just look at the public opinion polls. Vast majorities of Americans want immigration levels either held the same or reduced. Very, very small numbers of Americans, fewer than 20% in many polls, want to see immigration increased the way that atrocious 2013 bill would have done.
Well, and I think the voters did speak, and what Stephen Miller said yesterday, I think, is right. This legislation, it forces their hand. They're going to have to defend the status quo that has kept wages low. All they have is an emotional response. You know, it's racist, it's anti-immigrant, it's restrictionist, it's xenophobic. You're making people, you know, learn English when, you know, that's nativist. I mean, they have only emotional arguments. They don't.
No, and this is why I say that many of the people who've spoken about this bill in opposition in the last 24 hours are emotional and opinionated, yet uninformed. English speaking ability, for instance, is just one of six categories in which you can score points. So you don't have to be a perfect English speaker. You don't even have to know much English if, for instance, you have a PhD in computer science and you're in your mid-20s, or if you have achieved, you know, some great success in life. There are multiple paths under our legislation to earn a green card. What they all have in common is the evidence shows and common sense shows that the people who have these traits will succeed in our economy,
right,
assimilate the entire society, they will pay taxes, they will support their own households, they won't use welfare. That's the exact kind of immigrant we should want to come to our country.
I can tell you who does have an must-know English rule, CNN, and they're hiring, MSNBC, CBS, ABC. They all require that people work for them can speak English, but I guess for the rest of the country, it's not really all that important. Senator Cotton, I also heard you on Russia, and you part ways with the president's position, which I think is that we should try to have a better relationship with Russia, understanding full well that, you know, Russia's not a Britain, never will be. They're not going to be a strong ally, but we have a common interest in defeating Islamic terrorism, and where we can find a common interest, especially focused on that, we should try to improve the relationship. And I know you're more with the old neoconservatives against him on that issue. But my question on that is, why don't we apply the same analysis to China that we apply to Russia? China may not have invaded another country, but it's on its way to domination in the South China Seas and what it's doing in investment in Africa, even here in the United States, how it's dumping foreign products, cheap foreign products, intellectual property theft. And they've done enormous damage to our economy just through fraud and cheating. Yet we never seem to have the same language employed against China as we do against Russia.
Oh, I very much agree, Laura. Neither Russia nor China are friends of the United States. And while there may be places here and there where it appears that we have overlapping interests, unless Vladimir Putin or Xi Jinping is willing to act to advance those interests, then we can't even cooperate there. But Russia or China, from their support for North Korea to their intimidation of Taiwan, trying to militarize and therefore control whole shipping lanes in the South China Sea, is no friend of the United States. And just like I advocate for a firm line in confrontation with Russia every time they challenge the United States' interests, I do the same thing with China.
Yeah, well, what about your colleagues? I would say over the last 20 years, a much bigger threat to the United States, our economy and our national security and how they've stolen intellectual property and supercomputing technology, of course, hacking into our government systems, has been China. I mean, Russia's obviously not as an adversary of ours, but China is I think the CIA director is right. They're our biggest threat right now as far as other nations.
And China is gaining in power. I mean, we shouldn't make Russia and Vladimir Putin not to be 10 feet tall. His economy is smaller than the economy of California and of Texas and of New York, and it's still facing great stress. China is going to continue to gain power. So that that is a very reasonable perspective. We should see them both with clear eyes.
And before we let you go, is McConnell safe as Senate Majority Leader, given the fact there are no really big, significant legislative wins?
Well, you know, I was very disappointed in the health care defeat last week, but ultimately that was not Mitch McConnell failure. That was the resistance of a dozen senators who campaigned on repealing mm-hmm. Obamacare and apparently never really thought it through or didn't really mean it.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate it. Loved the beginning of this real reboot on immigration in the RAISE Act. Senator Tom Cotton, thank you so much.
The Laura Ingraham Show.